like to talk about today, the Isser of Achilas Chametz, the Isser to eat Chametz on Pesach. If we have some time at the end, we'll also discuss a few practical issues relating to Bedikas Chametz. The Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, Kol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu. From this, the Gemara derives that one is not allowed to eat any chametz on Pesach, both the actual chametz and a tarovis of chametz, a mixture of chametz as well. We know that, generally speaking, an isser, macholas hasura, something which is prohibited by achila, is batel berov heter. That if you have isser, but it gets mixed up into rov of heter, it gets mixed up into other things that are mutter, whether the isser is nevel or treif or chaser, etc. So it's batel berov heter. That's only if it's not no sin tamim, it doesn't impart a taste into the heter. But if it does impart a taste into the heter, then rov is not enough. You need shishim 60 times in the heter connected to the isser in order to be mevatel it, because the taste is going to be felt. Chametz v'pesach is different from all other isurim. The Gemara Pesachim and Aflamid writes that Chazal v'machmir when it comes to chametz. Chametz is also b'mashim. Chazal v'machmir, a chametz, even a small amount of chametz should be awesome. So rov is not enough to be mevatel chametz. Even shishim is not enough. You need, well, there's nothing to need. Chametz is also b'mashim. You have a tarovus of chametz. Not only is the chametz also b'en, if it's actually visible, if the chametz is there, but even if it's ma'ura b'taroves, it's also b'mashu. B'mashu. Why did Chazal add this chumra the chametz, as we call it? Why do we have this chumra the chametz? What kind of an idea is that? So the Rishonim give different reasons for this chumra. The Rosh there in Psochim and Perek Beis Simon Hay writes that the chumra of chametz is because chametz is isur of the kares, yichayev kares for chametz. That's not a reason by itself to say that it's asa b'mashu. There are many other isurim. Chaylev and dam are also chayev kares. So we just had it in this past week's parsha. And yet, it's not asa b'mashu. So says the Rosh that there's something special about chametz. Lo bedili in shimine. People are very accustomed to eating chametz. The whole year round, they eat chametz. And on Pesach, we're not allowed to eat chametz. It looks like a davar hamutar. Now suddenly it becomes aser. That's very dangerous. If we're not going to aser at the mashu, if people are not going to be so careful about chametz, even if it's the tarobes, then they might come to eat the chametz be'en. They might come to eat the chametz even if it's not the mashu, even if it's not shishim. Then that's okay. People are not separating themselves. Lo bedili in shimine. They don't separate themselves from chametz the entire year. So there's a concern that if we don't ask the chametz, even b'mashu, that people might come to eat the chametz if you don't have shishim, if it's not batel. So that's why Chazal put an extra chumra. That chametz, even the tarovis, no matter how significant the tarovis is, no matter how much heter you have, it's not enough to be mevatel. Chametz is also b'mashu. That's the position of the Rosh. The Rambam in Hilchos Machalos Asuras gives a different reason. Rambam says, you know why chametz is also b'mashu? Because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Going back to Thursday shiur, the davar sheyesh l'matirin. What does that mean? It's yesh l'matirin because after Pesach it's going to be mutter. So what? Said he. But now it's awesome. Davar sheyesh l'matirin. Chazal machmer that every davar sheyesh l'matirin should be batal. Right? The idea of mashu is not just chumah d'chametz. It's mashu by davar sheyesh l'matirin in general. Other cases of davar sheyesh l'matirin. Beitz shenol d'biyomtiv, as we talked about. Maybe Tevel is a davar sheyesh l'matirin. Chodosh might be a davar sheyesh l'matirin, right? All of these things are ways of being matir, that item. So Chazal l'machmer that a davar sheyesh l'matirin is not batel afilu be'elef, which basically means it's b'mashu. No amount is going to be mevatel. Not shishim, not elef, nothing. So says the Rambam, chametz is similar. Chametz is a davar sheyesh l'matirin because after Pesach is going to be mutter. Why did the Rosh give that reason? The answer might be that it's not so clear chametz is a davar sheyesh l'matirin. It's yesh l'matirin now, but it becomes asa the next year. A normal davar sheyesh l'matirin is asa, but then it becomes mutter, and it's mutter l'olam v'oel. Chametz has this chameleon nature to it, right? It's mutter most of the year, and then 7 days during the 8 days during the year, it's asa. So some Rishonim want to suggest chametz is not a davar sheyesh l'matirin. It's not a typical davar sheyesh l'matirin. It becomes Nesa l'shana haba. So Maybe that's why the Rosh had to give a different reason for the Chumrah of Chametz, because he felt that it's not a double shesh malachim. But these are the different reasons the Rishonim give for why Chametz is aser b'mashir. Question, Shmuel.
You said before, earlier in the shir, about Nida, that it was eventually a double shesh malachim. But if you want to say, the Rosh and Rambam, then it comes back and comes out there again, then it's not a double shesh malachim.
Question.
But if you want to say that if it goes and comes usher again, then it's not a double shesh malachim. So how could we say before that a nida, which every month becomes usher, is a double shesh malachim?
No. The need, first of all, need is not a double shesh matir. The idea of double shesh matir means something which is mixed up in a tarovis, so then that bittul is not going to work. Bittul is not going to work for something that's mixed up in a tarovis. Nida is yeshul material in a certain way, but that's not going to be relevant to this because we're not talking about tarovis. We're talking about macholas asuras that are mixed up. Okay, so these are the different reasons that the Rishonim give for why chametz is asur b'mashir. What's an afkamina? So there are different issues that the poskim point out that might be an afkamina between the Rosh and the Rambam. I'll just mention one of them. What happens if chametz is nisarif b'shishim before Pesach? Before Pesach, it gets mixed up, right? You're in a manufacturing plant, and they're making items, and there is a little bit of chametz in the tarovis, but it's batel b'shishim. So do we say that now that Pesach comes, this chametz should be also b'mashim? Or should we say, no, once it's nisarid, once it's nisbatel before Pesach, so this item is mutatid on Pesach? Because it wasn't also when Pesach comes in, so then it should be mutter. What's the difference? The Rosh says, in this case, it's mutter. If it was Nisari v'shishim before Pesach, shishim is the Shia for Macholas Asuras in general. So, if Chametz is Nisari v'shishim, it was already bottled before Pesach, so then it's not Choser v'neir, as we would call it. Right? It doesn't have a new life. Right? It's not reawakened. When Pesach comes, and we say, oh, this is Chametz. Right? And chametz is also b'mashu, so now it's going to ask the tarovis. No, it's already batal, it's over, it's mutter, there's nothing to talk about. From the Rambam, in Hilchas Chametz Shematzah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis, you get the impression that the Rambam holds that this is awesome. Because the Rambam doesn't distinguish, when he talks about tarovis chametz, that it's a davar sheyesh matir, he doesn't distinguish between if it's nesarev on Pesach or nesarev before Pesach. You get the impression the Rambam holds even if the mixture were created before Pesach, it still is going to be a problem. As long as you have chametz b'mashu in there, it's lying dormant, then when Pesach comes, it's going to aser b'mashu. What's the machlokas? Someone who explained that maybe l'shitasam, maybe the Rosh and the Rambam followed the particular shitas in terms of the reason for why chametz is aser b'mashu. The Rosh says chametz is aser b'mashu because it's nisar kareis and lo bedili and shiminei. So the Rosh says that there's a concern that if you don't ask the chametz b'mashu, you might come to eat it even if it's not nisarif. That's because if the chametz is be'el on Pesach and it comes into a tarovis on Pesach, so even if the tarovis has shishim, the concern is that if it's nisarif in a different way on Pesach, then you might come to eat it because you're not so careful about it. But if it was nisarif from before Pesach, and then this just doesn't exist anymore. It's not that it's Nisarev on Pesach. So you're afraid, oh, there are different ways that you can have a Tarovis on Pesach. You might be more makil with Chametz. If it were already Nisarev from before Pesach, the Rosh says, what's the problem? There's no Isser here b'chlal. There's no Is. As long as there's no Chametz on Pesach, we're not afraid of this Chametz. It's already Bata. If the Chametz is Be'en and the Tarovis is created on Pesach, so we're afraid. Maybe you'll eat the chametz without a tarovis of shishim, right? Without a mixture of heter to be matirin. But if that tarovis were created from before Pesach and you're entering at the Pesach without any chametz being here, there's no concern. There's no concern about this chametz. So that's why Chazal were not going to be gozer. What does the Rambam hold? The Rambam holds that chametz is also b'mashu because it's yesh lo matirin. Because yesh lo matir, why taka do the chachamim say by a davar sheyesh lo matir that it's not batal? Because ad shetochlenu beisur tochlenu beheter. The idea of bittul berov is a kula. That's a kula to say that you have isur, but because the taste is not recognizable, so we'll say that you can use the principle of bittul to say that it's mutter. Why rely on the principle of bittul? Just wait until it will become mutter. So the Rambam says, why does that not apply if the Torahs were created before Pesach? So what? That shouldn't matter when the Torahs was created. The reality is, why rely on the concept of Bittul? Why rely on the concept of Bittul? You can just wait until after Pesach and it's going to be Mutter. So it could be that's why the Rambam says that the Issa Mashu applies even if it were Nisari from before Pesach. Because Adshe Toch Lenu Be'Issa Toch Lenu Be'Heter. Don't rely on the Kula of Bittul. Wait, be patient. Be patient and wait till after Pesach and you'll be able to eat it. Lahalocha, we paskin like the Rosh, that if it were Nisari of Bishishim before Pesach, technically speaking, it really is Mutter to eat that Taros. If you were to have some kind of a food item that's made with chametz, that's bottled b'shishim from before Pesach, technically speaking, it should be mutter. That's the Ramot, Simetov Mem Zayin, Arachayim, is all about Terobos chametz. Simetov Mem Zayin, Siv Dalet, the Ramot says that the minig is to be mekel. The minig is to be mekel to say that if a chametz, when it's arev, b'shishim before Pesach, it's not chose of ener on Pesach. We say it's mutter. So technically speaking, it should be mutter. The reality is, the reason why we need a hashgacha to make sure that things are kosher l'Pesach is because there are many food items that are made with chametz where it's not going to be batel b'shishim. In most situations where you have chametz in there, right? If it's either made on kalim that you had chametz, so we generally assume that you don't know how much of a b'liyah you have in the kalim, so it might not be batel b'shishim. If you have ingredients in the item, chametz thick ingredients in the item, so why would you have those ingredients if it's batel b'shishim? Like, what's the point? The time, the taste is not going to be recognizable, so why would you have those ingredients? So most times that you have chametzik ingredients, it's because it's not batel b'shishim, you can't actually taste the time. So that's why we have to have a hashgacha to make sure that there are no chametzik ingredients and the kashrut Pesach food is not made on kalim that were used to make chametzik food, because in either one of those circumstances, you're not even going to have shishim before Pesach. But technically speaking, if something were made from before Pesach and it were batel b'shishim, you had a little bit of chametz and it was batel b'shishim, itaka would be mutter because we actually follow the Rosh. There's a chumra that some have that they try to buy all of their milk and eggs from before Pesach. All the milk and eggs that they're going to use on Pesach, they try to buy from beforehand. Why? Because of chumra the chametz. Because what do the farmers do? They feed the animals chametz. The animal feed is made out of chametz. So this is like behema shenispatma me'isser. Let's say you have a behema, you have an animal that's fattened up with isser. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara says that normally we assume that this should be mutter because of a principle called zev zed gorim. There are many different factors, many different elements that fatten the animal up. Right? There's the chametz that you give them, there are the non-chametz stick of solid foods that you give them, there's the liquid, water, and other things. There are lots of different things that are creating that pitum in the behemah, that are creating the fattening in the behemah. Zevezegorem, we normally assume is mutter. So, at first glance, you'd say, what could be the problem over here? So what did they feed the animals chametz? But there are many other non-chametz stick of things that the animal is eating, and Zevezegorem should tell me that there shouldn't be any problem. The issue is that some Rishonim say that Zevezegorein, mutter, is based on the principle of Bittul. It's a concept of Bittul. If you have multiple factors, and it's all, these are all different elements that are involved in making the animal grow, so it's like the Isser element is Bittul. So because it's Bittul, it's not significant enough to us. Right? We don't have to be careful that the chickens that we eat, that the animals that we eat the meat from, are only fed kosher food. We're not concerned about that. Zev Zegarim tells me it's mutter. But some Rishonim says it's because of Bittul. So if Zev Zegarim is mutter only because of Bittul, you can readily understand that on Pesach, that's going to be a problem. Because if chametz is also b'mashu, it's never batel. So then if you're going to use chametz for the animals to feed, and the milk is going to be increased as a result of the chametz, or the eggs are going to grow in the animal, in the chicken, because of the chametz. So zev zegarim is not going to help us for chametz, because if zev zegarim is we didn't bittul, and on chametz or Pesach, we don't say bittul bero, bittul b'shishim, etc. So then zev zegarim also for chametz. So that's why some are knowing that they try to buy all their eggs and all of their milk beforehand. Now how's that going to solve the problem? The answer is, if we pass them like the Rosh, that as long as the chametz is bottled from before Pesach, right, as long as the bittel with chal from before Pesach, and it's not going to ask when Pesach comes, so then it's okay. Even if Zev is Adorim is Medin bittel, it's already bottled from before Pesach, so that shouldn't be a problem. Then this is, if someone is in a situation where they need more milk on Pesach. Now, Cholamoed, you know, some guests came, whatever. The milk gets finished, or the eggs get finished. There is room to be made, because it could be that Zev is Adorim is not Medin bittel. It could be a different halacha. That it's simply a principle that if you have multiple factors that are mashpia on the behema to produce something in the animal, to make the behema fattened, or to produce the milk, to produce the eggs, we don't attribute the growth of the eggs or the growth of the milk, the creation of the eggs and the milk, to the davar ha'asa, not being din bittel. It's a different halacha. So it's a different halacha, so then it might apply, it might help even by chametz, right? So even if the eggs and the milk were actually generated on Pesach itself, they fed chametz, the animal, on Pesach itself, it might still be mutter. What's more, in most circumstances, the eggs and the milk that we're going to buy, if you buy on Chol HaMoed, it's doubtful that those eggs or milk were actually created from the animals on Yom Tov, right? They transport them at least a week before. So chances are good that the milk, the animals were actually milked from before Pesach. You're only getting milk that now is transported. Even if the milk is fresh, but what, it was created, it was milked that morning? Doubtful. Right? So chances are it was milked a little bit before. Maybe it's an afkemina on the last day of Pesach, you know, the last day of Chol HaMoed. Maybe Taka is milked on Chol HaMoed. I don't know. But there's room to be megel for that as well. But there are those who are machmer to try, at least to try, to buy the milk and the eggs that you think that you're going to need throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach, to buy it from before the Yom Tov, so that you can rely on the Shita, that even if Zev is Agarim is Mutter, but if it's Nisari from before Pesach, it's going to be Mutter. There's an interesting machlokas to Machaber Amah, but another issue related to Terebus Chametz, and that is Nosen Tam Lefgam. Let's say a person accidentally cooks on Pesach something in a Chametz like a Kli. The Kli is perfectly clean, but it has a Bli of Chametz in it. But it's not a bliya that's a ben yomo. The kli is not a ben yomo. It hasn't been used for 24 hours. There were two star in the jam, right? 2 days of Yom Tov. And now in Chol HaMoed, you wake up in the morning, and you're going to cook something in a chametz dikah kli. What's it then? So we said that kli sheino ben yomo, whatever tam is inside the kli is only a tam pogum. Nosen tam lefgam is mutter. So what's it then when it comes to chametz with Pesach? Machlokus mechaber amo, what's the din? What's this based on? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, this is in Simen Tov Mem Zayin Sif Yud, and the Mishnah Berurah there. Machlokas Mechaber Amo is in Sif Yud. The Mishnah Berurah explains that the Machlokas Mechaber Amo is how to understand the heder of Nosen Tam Lefgam. Isn't that a Tam Pogam just isn't Isser? Tam Pogam? Taste that's not edible, that's not a good taste, it's a bad taste, it's just not Isser at all. If it's not Isser at all, so then it's not Chametz, there's no problem at all. Or should we say that Nosen Tam Lefgam is Mutter, Midin Bittel? Meaning, the rule of Tam Ke Iker, that if I don't have Shishim, I don't have 60 times of the Heter, can I get the Isser? So the Isser is Nosen Tam, it gives a taste into the Heter. So that's a problem, because it's as if the Isser is still there. If it's a Tam Meshubach, so then it's as if the Isser is still there. But if it's a Tam Pogam, so then it's like the Isser is Bottom. The Issa was no sin tam into the heter, but it's like it's bottled. It's as if there's shishin, because it's not no sin tam l'shvach. So if you learn like the second approach, that it's really within bittel, so then by chametz u'pesach, you can't say bittel, chametz b'mashu. So no sin tam l'fgam is also going to be also on Pesach. So this is taka machlokas, l'maisa, between the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim. If a Sfardi were to do this, he were to cook in a clean pot. Again, it's got to be clean, it can't have residue on it. Right, but most of our pots, I imagine, are clean. Right, let's say a person makes an egg in a frying pan. A frying pan is completely clean. But it's chametz there. Right, they used it for some kind of a chametz there. So is it mutter to eat that egg on Pesach? It's already made. Should I throw out the egg or can I eat it? So I think a Sephardi posek might be more willing to be megel in this case. Ashkenazim would follow the Rambam, and they'd say that Nosen Tam Lefgam is also on Pesach, so one is not allowed to eat that item. Okay, in terms of an egg, it's not so significant. But let's say the person made a dish that was you know, they really need that dish. Is there any room to be mekel some? Maybe a Sfaradi post. I'm not sure what the Sfaradi post can hold. But the Ashkenazi post would say that it's that the rule of Nosen Tam Lefgar Mutter applies to everything else, but not the chametz, because chametz is asa b'mashu. So there's no heter of Nosen Tam Lefgar when it comes to chametz. Yes. No, I'm talking about if it were made on Pesach itself.
But
you're
saying with the
rule of Bittel, though. No, if it were, the Rosh says that if it were Nisari from before Pesach, so then it's not called Isser anymore. Once it's Bittel, then it's not Osser. But here I'm creating the Bittel now. I'm creating the Bittel on Pesach. I'm not talking about if a food were cooked from before Pesach. Let's say someone woke up on Chol Hamoed morning and cooked something. Something Pesach is in Chametz Dika Kalim. They made a mistake, you know, they're supposed to be the tape. Supposed to tape up all of your cupboards and tie them up with string. So whatever, I don't know, the person wasn't thinking. He was thinking about something else and he opened up his cupboard. It happens. It happens pretty frequently. Right? But often you catch it before they've actually cooked with the kalim. But who knows, it can happen. The Rama would say it's a problem. Even if it's not in town left down, that's going to be a problem when it comes to chametz. There's a very famous minig that's also based on the Chum and the Chametz. That's the minig not to eat kidneys on Pesach. Legumes. Rice, beans, peas, corn, different food items that are called kidneys. Because of the Chum and the Chametz. What's the Chum and the Chametz here? It's no Chametz in the kidneys. The Gemara Psochim on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph quotes Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri and HaChachamim whether Orez is Machmetz or not, is rice. Can rice become chametz thick if you add water to it? Rabbi Yochanan Uri says yes, and the Chachamim say no. We pass them like the Chachamim. The flip side of this shail is whether you can be yotzei with matzah that's made out of orez. If it is machmetz, so then you can be yotzei with rice matzah. If it's not machmetz, then you can't be yotzei with rice matzah. We hold like the Chachamim, who claim that orez, that rice, is boli de sircha. It spoils, but it's not boli de chimetz. It doesn't ferment. The full chimutz process that we have with the chameshes mina dogon, the chachamim say, doesn't happen with rice, and therefore you can't be yotzei matzah made out of rice, and there's no issur chametz with rice because it can't become chametz. This is what the Gemara seems to imply. The Gemara Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis says that there's a minhag to take two tafshilim for the ka'ara and stay there. So the Gemara says that Rava took silka v'aruza. He took beets and rice. So Rava apparently felt that rice is mutter on Pesach. Comes the smack, one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and says that the minig is not to eat kidneys on Pesach, not to eat legumes, beans or rice or things like that. Why not? Well, what could be the problem? So the smack says the problem is that kidneys is an item that you can make very similar products as you can make with a chameshes miniyadav. You can make bread out of kidneys. Past kidneys that we've shown and talk about. You can make rice bread. Rice cakes, or right? Well, rice cakes are made a little bit differently, but you can make rice bread, or you can make corn bread, or something. So, you can make products that are very similar to those products that you can make out of the chameshes miniyadav. You can make a porridge out of this. You can make a maisa kidera. Not only bread, but even other items. So the concern, Chazal had a concern, that maybe people will confuse the kidneys with chameshes mina dagon. They'll think that if kidneys is mutter on Pesach, then maybe chameshes mina dagon are also mutter. And that would be terrible, Gival, that would lead to eating chametz on Pesach. So Chazal developed the minig that one should not eat kidneys on Pesach either, since the products that you make, the food products that you can make with kidneys are similar to what you make with chameshes mina dagon, Chazal said not to eat kidneys. The tour adds another reason for why Chazal were machmir in kidneys, and that is because they used to add a little bit of dogon flour from the chameshes mina dogon to the rice flour, to give it a better consistency. So that's a real chashash of chametz. They added the dogon flour, the grain flour, to the rice, so then that'll, if you're going to use kidneys on Pesach, you'll be eating chametz gom. And some added, it's not so much that they actually put the grain flour into the rice flour, but they used to grow the rice near the grains, near the chameshes, near the dogon. So the concern was maybe there'll become some kind of tarovis between the grains of the chamesh is miyadav, and the rice, you'll come to be eating chamesh on Pesach, because when you grind it up and you make the flour, it's not that they, the kavana, added the grain flour to the kidneys flour, but because they're growing in such a close proximity, they're going to harvest them at a similar time, so then there's going to be some kind of a mixture. They're going to be, get mixed up within each other, and there'll be a problem. Okay, so these are the reasons that were given for the minhag not to eat kidneys. First of all, that they are similar products that people make out of, similar food products you make out of the kidneys, just like with the chamesh miyadavan. And secondly, because there's a real concern that you'll have kemach dagon in there, either because they grow in fields that are close to each other, or because they actually add the kemach dagon in order to give the better consistency to the rice flour. Comes the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov and Gimel Sef Aleph and says, kidneys on mutar on Pesach. This is a chumri yaseira. There's no need to be machmer. And that's the custom of the Sfardim. Sfardim are not machmer for kidneys. They do eat rice. But the Ramah says the minig is to be machmer. That's the machokas, the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. The Sfardim are mekel, and the Ashkenazim are machmer. They hold in this minig not to eat kidneys on Pesach. There's a whole discussion in the poskim, what is included within this issur of kidneys. Rice is the famous example. But they even talk about the coffee bean, peanuts. I mean, to ask a coffee on Pesach would be a chumri yaseir. Wow, that's a big chumri. You can have a lot of people walking around very tired on Pesach. Discussions. The poskim have different discussions about these things. I think many poskim are mekel for the coffee. Recently, there's been a new discussion related to kidneys, and that is focusing on quinoa. I don't know too much about quinoa, but when it comes to Pesach, this has become a big issue. And there's a little history to it. I think originally when quinoa became... Quinoa is not a grain, it's the seed. It's a seed, it's been described to me. It's not really a grain, but it's something that grows. But it can be used in similar ways as the chamesh miyadavan are used. So when it was first discovered, so some said, well, how can it be part of the minhag of kidneys? It's not... Chazal didn't know about quinoa. It's in South America. Chazal had no... They weren't privy to this quinoa. In fact, we weren't privy to it, you know, before 10, 20 years ago. I don't know. It was 10 years? How long has quinoa even been around? I don't know. Not too long. I'm sorry? Less than that, even. So Chazal certainly didn't know about it. So some poskim wanted to say, if Chazal didn't know about it when the minhag of kidneys was created, so how can it be part of the minhag of kidneys? Others suggested that even if it weren't known at the time, even if it wasn't known at the time of Chazal, but if it's similar, if the gzeira, if the chashoshos that exist by kidneys apply to quinoa, then it should be asked as well. If they actually do harvest the quinoa together with the chamesh miyadagon, or if there are products that you can make out of the quinoa that are similar to the products that you can make out of chamesh miyadagon, so then the same chashoshos really do apply. So you're going to say, well, it's only a chumri yaseira anyway. The Beis Yosef thought it's only a chumri yaseira, so maybe we should have to be machmer for what was not included within the ikar minhag of kidneys. So it went back and forth. Rabbi Willig used to say that it's better to be machmer. Better to be machmer, except for those who are on a gluten-free diet. Quinoa is a lifesaver for these people because it's very difficult for them. So he suggested that for those on a gluten-free diet, that you should use on Pesach only the quinoa that's certified by the CRC. I think the CRC, the Chicago Rabbinical Council, used to certify some quinoa product. And he would say that, you know, rely on their hashgacha, that they're careful that there's no terovis of kemach dagon. That's what he used to say. I saw that the OU recently issued a psak that they think quinoa should be mutter on Pesach. If there's a hashgacha for it, the OU hashgacha, right? If there is a hashgacha on the quinoa, so then we're not concerned that there really is a terovis of dagon. The only concern is, should quinoa be viewed as part of the minhag of kidneys? So the OU said, no, it shouldn't be. Why? He says, first of all, it's not really customary to make bread out of quinoa. Right. That's not a food that's made out of quinoa. So it's not really that similar to chamesh miyadagon in terms of the products that are made out of the quinoa. That's point number one, they said. Secondly, they don't really harvest the quinoa together with the wheat. The harvest season apparently is totally different than that of the chamesh miyadagon. So the concern that maybe you'll harvest them together and as a result of that you might have some kind of a tarova, some kind of a mixture, some kind of a cross-contamination, as they call it, between the Chameshes Min Yadavin and the Kehilah. They said, just it's not true. They went to, you know, they did research in Peru and Bolivia, wherever this kinwa is grown. They said it's really grown at a different time. The harvest season apparently is different. So they felt that, look, the processing, right, the plants that process the kinwa might process other things as well. So as long as you have hashgacha of kashla pesach to make sure that it's not processed to get the chameshes min yadavin, but it shouldn't be a problem, they said. Because based on their research, kinwa is really very different than kidneys. The chashashas really don't apply to quinoa, because the food products that you make out of quinoa are not similar to the food products that you make out of chameshes min yadavin, and the harvest season is different. So they said that the gzeira, the minig of kidneys, really shouldn't apply to quinoa, as long as practically speaking, there's no concern that that there's going to be a tarovus of chametz in there. And that's the psak that they issued recently. So it could be, certainly for those who are on a gluten-free diet, there's much more room to be made. They should look to see that it's kosher l'Pesach, and if it's kosher l'Pesach, then it should be mutar b'achila. For all others, you know, for people who don't really need quinoa, but they're very excited about quinoa throughout the year, they like to eat quinoa. It's probably better for the yom to the Pesach for 8 days. It might be part of the minig of kidneys. Maybe we'll treat it like a bean. If it looks like a bean, it acts like a bean. There are certain similarities between what they do with kinwa and what they do with chameshes min yadavin. Maybe it's better to be machmer. Maybe. I'm not sure. You know, I'll leave that as an open-ended question. But certainly for those on a gluten-free diet, there really is room to be made. The Mishnah Berurah has another big cooler when it comes to kidneys. This is in Siman Tov Nun Gimel Sukkot Zayin. He says that for a cholet, it's mutar to eat kidneys. Not just a cholet sheyesh bo sakana, if he needs the kidneys, but even a cholet sheyesh bo sakana. A cholet shein bo sakana is allowed to eat kidneys. Where is this relevant? So this is relevant halacha l'maaseh for babies. Baby formula. Baby formula is made out of soy. Soy is kidneys. It's beans. So it's mutter to feed the baby the formula. I mean, you could say the baby, it could be a cholet shein bo sakana. If it doesn't eat on Pesach, it could be a cholet shein bo sakana. But let's say there's a way of getting some kind of kosher l'Pesach formula for the baby. Right? So, I guess if you can get a kosher l'Pesach formula, so then it's better to do that. But if the baby, you know, is used to this formula, and it's certainly better for the baby nutritionally, it's perfectly mutter to feed the baby non-kosher l'Pesach formula, meaning formula made out of kidneys, because the baby is a chol sha'im bo sakana. Till the age of 3, the baby is viewed as a chol sha'im bo sakana. Even if you'll tell me the baby is not a newborn, not going to call me sakana, we can feed the baby other things, but if it's good for the baby's health, then it's perfectly permissible to give the baby the formula, even though it has soy, even though it has kidneys in it. The one thing to keep in mind is if you're going to wash out the bottle, better to wash out the bottle in the bathroom and not in the sink. If you wash it out in the sink, then you're putting kidneys into the sink, and there could be other dishes there, and kidneys is butter, it's bottle below, but you shouldn't wash it together with the kosher l'Pesach silverware. It's better to wash the baby products that have the baby formula in it in the bathroom and not to wash it actually in the sink. There are big discussions in the poskim, a lot of the kosher l'Pesach candies and other things. Why do we need a kosher l'Pesach candy if it doesn't really have chametz in it? The answer is that it has kidneys. It's corn syrup and other things. These are kidneys derivatives, extracts of kidneys. That's a big discussion in the poskim. So a lot of the kosher l'Pesach questions relate to kidneys, not so much the chametz per se, but the kidneys. Discussion. It's better to get a kosher l'Pesach brand, of course. Someone asked me a shaila once if they were invited to the home of a Sfardi on Yom Tov, is a mutter to go. Says the Sfardi eats kidneys, they eat rice, and they cook in pots. Right? Then they're going to cook food in those same pots. So is the Ashkenazi allowed to go on Pesach to the home of the Sfardi? They're not going to eat the rice. The Sfardi, let's say, is not going to cook rice for the meal that the Ashkenazi is going to be there. Is it mutter to come? It's a big machlokas in the poskim, where the kidneys can asa the kelim. Some say that it doesn't asa the kelim, that wasn't part of the gzera. If kidneys are bottled b'rov, so it shouldn't asa the kelim, even if it's no sintam, but it's bottled b'rov. And others say, no, it's better not to. Not so simple. Not so simple. I guess it depends on the circumstance. You know, if someone really feels compelled, somehow feelings are going to be hurt. You know, if it's a family member and feelings are going to be hurt, I don't know. You have to deal with every situation individually. But it is an issue. It's not such a simple issue. Even if the Sfardi is not going to be cooking kidneys for the meal the Ashkenazi is eating, the fact that they're using the same kalim is a shayla, so it should be asked. The shayla should be asked before a person is actually making. There's another famous chumrah that some people have on Pesach, and that is, of course, the brachs, also because of chumrah the chametz. Many people don't have this minig. This is the minig of chassidim. Gebraks, that's the Yiddish term. The Hebrew term is matzah shruya, soaked matzah. That many chassidim have a minig that they don't eat gebraks. They don't eat matzah that was soaked. Even after the matzah is actually baked, they don't eat the matzah if it was soaked in water. You take matzah meal, let's say. You make knedlach out of it, matzah ball, so chassidim wouldn't have the matzah ball. Because that's matzah that is later soaked in the water, cooked in the water, and they have a concern of chumrah d'chametz. What's the concern of chumrah d'chametz? So there actually are two different reasons for this chumrah. This chumrah is not just chassidish minig. It's quoted in the poskim. It's in the Torah. Beis Yosef, the Gemaras have things about this. The Torah writes that one is not allowed to cook matzah tchuna, matzah meal, matzah that was ground up. And his mocker is from a Gemara Sochem that tells a story that Rava prohibited cooking matzah tchuna in a particular home. There were servants in the Reish Galusa's home, and he said that they shouldn't cook the matzah that was ground up. Why? Because he was afraid that the servants wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the ground up matzah and flour, chametz dik a kemach dava. So they might come to, well, the kemach. Okay, let's back up a second. Our flour, our bleached flour, is probably chametz gama. But even if you don't bleach the flour, it can create chametz. Right? In those times, they weren't bleaching the flour. Our flour that's bleached, so they put water on the flour to clean it. So once the water is put on the flour, even if it looks like flour, it's probably chametz gomer. You should be selling that flour. You should be selling, if you sell chametz gomer, if your minig is to sell chametz gomer, then you can sell that flour. If not, you have to dispose of it before Pesach. But let's say you have regular flour. So flour itself is not chametz. Add water to it, then it's going to become chametz. So Rava was concerned that if we allow them to use ground up matzah meal, and to make matzah balls out of that, to cook the matzah meal, so they might cook the flour too. And that's going to be chametz gomer. That's one chumrah. So according to this chumrah, that's the basis of Gebraks, then it should only be usser to create matzah balls, only to use matzah meal, but to put some kind of a liquid on the matzah itself. If it's not made into matzah meal, there's no chashash, because it doesn't look like flour. So comes the Trumas Hadeshin, it says something different. The Trumas Hadeshin says, let's say a person has a dough. He's kneading a dough to make a matzah. And it's a little bit too moist. So he wants to add a little bit of flour to make it less moist. Comes the Trumas Hadeshin and says, don't do that. Because you might add the flour, and it might not get mixed up completely. And if it doesn't get mixed up completely, then it's going to turn into chametz. It's not going to bake properly. So some suggest, based on this Trumas Hadeshin, perhaps one shouldn't add liquid to matzah. Shouldn't put liquid on top of matzah. Shouldn't put pieces of matzah into the soup. Because there's a concern that perhaps the matzah didn't bake properly. And if the matzah doesn't bake properly, it's going to turn into chametz. Similar to the chumrah of the Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin is talking about the creation of matzah. Kneading the matzah. So if you're going to add more flour to the dough because it's too moist, maybe that flour is not going to become mixed in properly. It's not going to bake properly. And then that flour can become chametz. So similarly, there are those who are machmer by matzah shruya that they're also concerned that maybe the matzah is not going to be completely cooked. Maybe there's a part of the matzah that's not completely cooked, and that part of the matzah is going to become a chametz stick if you add water to it. But of course, this is a chumrah on top of the Trumas Hadeshin. It's not exactly what the Trumas Hadeshin was talking about. It's a chumrah. Many hold it's a chumrah yisera, but there are those who are knowing not to eat gebraks, not to soak the matzah in any liquid, and there are gradations in this minig as well. Some people do put cream cheese or something like that on top of the matzah because they don't consider the cream cheese to be considered. They don't consider the cream cheese to be liquid. Others are more machmer. There are different gradations. Then he asks the question, for those who don't eat gebraks, how can you eat korech at the seder? Isn't korech gebraks? The answer is it absolutely is. No question about it. Right? You're having the matzah together with the mara. The mara is wet. But you're going to dry it. That this is a new chumra, to take the mara, to clean the mara, and then to dry it, to make sure it's completely dry. You're never going to be able to dry it completely, because once you bite into the mara, you're going to have liquid there. It's not shach. So how's a mutter teen karech? Isn't karech the biggest raya that this is just a chumra yisrael that no one should be knowing? So the answer, I think, is that korech is different, because korech has to be eaten within a prescribed period of time. We know that the korech might be the way that we're fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah. The question is whether you're supposed to eat the matzah by itself, or maybe you're supposed to eat it together with the mara. So if we're fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah with korech, we know that the kezias of matzah has to be eaten b'chvei achilas pras. It has to be eaten in a certain period of time, anywhere from 2 minutes to 9 minutes. There are different chilukei dayas over there. But clearly it has to be eaten within a prescribed period of time, much less than 18 minutes. So if 18 minutes is the time that something can become chametz steak, there really is no chashash that the matzah that you're using in korech is going to become chametz steak. So perhaps that's why they weren't machmer for korech. Of course, the simple reason is that korech is a mitzvah. So if you have a mitzvah to eat something, we're not going to be machmer because of a minig, you know, not to fulfill the mitzvah, whether it's a mitzvah deraisa, the rabbon, or whatever the mitzvah is, right? Whether it's it's certainly a mitzvah. It's probably a mitzvah deraisa. It's just the question is how to fulfill that mitzvah deraisa of matzah. But b'makom mitzvah, we're not going to be machmir for matzah shruya. That's really the simple reason. But there are two reasons: either it has to be eaten within a prescribed period of time, or b'makom mitzvah, there's really no reason to be machmir. Even though most people do not have the minig not to eat gebras, but there is one case where this svara of the Truma Sedeshin does play a role for everyone, and that is regarding the halach of matzah kfula. What is matzah kfula? That means that if a matzah got bent over in the baking process, we know that in the matzah factories, you know, they're screaming l'shem matzah smitzvah, l'shem matzah smitzvah, and they're running all around doing everything quickly. Right, so someone runs with a pole with about 10 doughs that are 10 matzahs that are still dough that have been kneaded properly, and he's running into the oven. He's not running into the oven, but he's running to put the matzahs in the oven. Right, so sometimes what happens is as he's rolling out that pole with the matzahs on it, so some of the matzahs don't get rolled out properly. They get folded over in the oven. So typically when something gets folded over, it's folded over in a bad way, then they'll just throw it out right there and then. But sometimes what happens is there's a little fold in the matzah. They don't necessarily notice it, and you can get it in your box of matzahs. The halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch, it's in the Tav Samach Aleph, Siv Bei, says that one is not supposed to eat the part of the matzah that's kfula, the part of the matzah that's folded over. Because there's a chashash of chametz there. There's a concern that if it's folded over, it's not going to bake appropriately. Does anyone know how long the matzahs actually stay in the oven when they're being baked? Do you know how long? About 10 seconds, 15 seconds. I mean, it's like in and out. That's not 15 seconds, but it's like in and out. Mamish, like 20, 25 seconds in the oven. They run in, they roll them out. By the time the guy has rolled them out, there's someone else who's stacking them, and then they take them out. It's like it's less than half a minute. It's very, very quick. The oven is very hot. It's like 1,000 degrees. Very, very hot. And the matzahs get baked very quickly. So it's quite possible that in that very short period of time, if the matzah is folded over, it's not exposed to the heat as much as it normally would be. So there is the concern that part of the matzah is not going to be baked appropriately. So mitzad chumer de chametz, the Shulchan Aruch says one is not supposed to eat the part of the matzah that's kfula. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah adds that even if it's not actually folded over, it looks a little dovuk. It looks like it's stuck together. It's not completely folded over. A little bit stuck together, you shouldn't eat that either. And what shows you that it's stuck together, that it's a significant dibuk, if you will, right? That the dveikus in the matzah is significant, comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, well, it depends what it looks like on the bottom. If the fact that the matzah is stuck together is nikar both on the top and on the bottom of the matzah, so you see that it's like a fold almost. Sometimes the matzah develops some kinds of lines in it that look like the dough was actually stuck together. So if it's just on top, that's not so significant. But if it goes through to the bottom and you see it through and through, so then that's a significant kind of fold, and that would be like a matzah kfula that you also shouldn't eat. So if you find something like this, you find a matzah kfula on Pesach, you should break off that piece. Break off the piece. You don't have to throw out the whole matzah. There's a whole discussion, what's the difference, is there a difference if the matzah was baked on Pesach or baked before Pesach? The matzahs that we're going to be eating are all baked before Pesach. So if you find a matzah kfula, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it would appear that you should just break off that piece. You should look at the matzah before you bake it. Now, we're talking about hand matzahs, not machine matzahs are not going to have this. But the hand matzahs can have some kfulas in them, so it's kedai to look at the matzah beforehand, and if it has a kfula, then you should just break off that piece and throw it in the garbage. So just to be able to visualize this better, I brought some matzah kfulas that my family and I separated over the years. After shiur, we'll look at them a little bit. Okay, we're not going to take the time now, but after shiur, I'll show you some of these matzah kfulas so you can see exactly what I'm talking about. What's a real matzah kfula that's folded over, and what's the smaller type, you know, the minimal type of matzah kfula that has a small fold that's not actually folded over. I think in both cases, based on the Shulchan Aruch, one should break off that piece and not eat it. Again, it doesn't ask for the rest of the matzah, but this chumra de chametz, based on the Trumas Hadeshim, similar to the Trumas Hadeshim, that we're afraid that something is not going to get cooked appropriately, not get baked appropriately, it's better not to eat that piece of the matzah. Yaakov?
Does the Shulchan Aruch say that the matzah can be used for the Mishnah or for one of the three on the Sidran and break it off afterward? Or would you not even, or have you said not to even use it?
I think if it's a sholem, if you need it for sholem, it can be used because you're only breaking it off later.
Right.
But I think it's better if you have enough matzahs, don't use a matzah kfu. Use it for the shvuros.
But it can be used if you need it.
I think so, because until you've broken it off, you're saying if it's omed lito,
okay.
Right? Right? You're going to break it off, so is that for shofar gummy?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think as long as it's sholem, even if you're not going to eat that part of the matzah, it's still going to be considered a sholem. But it's probably better not to use that matzah. Better not to use that matzah, have a different shalom, and you'll use this for shavuos. Yes?
Wouldn't it be a problem to break it off on Yom Tov? Because it can be boiled, yeah? Yeah.
No, so you should, that's a good question. So break off a little bit of the matzah that you can eat. And then that's
with
the breira of ochel upsolas mitoch ochel. Right? Going back to last year, right? If you break off a little bit of ochel together with the psolas, that's not called bora, and that should be permissible. Yes? Okay, that's interesting. So that relates to whether Borer is mutter on Yom Tov. Okay, whatever. That's beyond our discussion. Okay, but there's a simple solution to the problem. Just take off a little bit of the matzah that you can eat together with the part of the matzah that you can't eat, and then it won't be Borer b'chlal. Okay, one of the questions that the post can discuss. This will be the final issue for Achilas comments. One of the questions discussed in terms of Tarovus Chametz is medicines. The way that medicines are made, so there's the medicinal element, the actual ichor of the medicine, that's curative, right? That heals the person. But then there are other parts of the medicine. Like you have to have some kind of a capsule. Right? It has to be mixed together with other things so that it's going to be able to work properly. It has to be made into a pill. So sometimes there are chametzdikah ingredients in the pill itself, even though that's not the actual refuah, that's not the medicine. The medicine itself is not chametz, that's a chemical. But sometimes the suspension, or what's the phrase? The way that the pill is created, right? The way that the pill is created, in the pill itself you can have some kind of chametz. So is that permissible on Pesach or not? So the first thing you'd say is, nifsal me'achilas kelev. The chametz is not royal achilas kelev, then no animal is going to eat that, so it should be perfectly permissible. The Gemara says that if it's nisom achilas kelev, it's not asa b'achila, so what should be the problem over here? So some point to a rush at the beginning of the second parak of Sachem. The Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak of Sachem, and Avchafalov says that kol shah shemuta lechol, anytime that it's muta to eat chametz, you can feed to your behema, etc. And the Mishnah says, muta b'hana asa, it's muta b'hana. If you can eat the chametz, and you can derive benefit from it as well. So the Gemara says, Pshita, of course, it's mutter b'hana asa, it's mutter b'achila, it's mutter b'hana. Says the Gemara, no, lo tzricha shecharcha kodem zmana. We're talking about a case where you singed up the chametz, you burnt it up before it's zman. And comes the Gemara and says, the chiddush is that if charcha kodem zmana, it's mutter b'hana, even la'achra zmana. That if you made it, ain't a roi l'achilas kelev, as the Rishonim explained, you burnt it up, and now it's not royal achilas kelev, but you did that before the zman iser, So then it's mutter even after this man is there. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That chametz is mutter b'hana even after this man is there, as long as you made it in a royal achilas kelev before this man is there. Comes the Rosh and says that there are some who wanted to claim that if the item is nifsum, achilas kelev kodim zmano, it's mutter not only b'hana, it's mutter b'achila too. Right? Once it's nifsum achilas kelev, there's no issur chametz. Not b'hana and not b'achila. That's the sheet of the Ran. Ran says, yeah, if it's nifsum achilas kelev, it's even mutter b'achila. The Mishnah didn't say mutter b'achila. It says mutter b'hana also. And the Gemara says, oh, we're talking about a case with nifsum achilas kelev from before the zman, and then it's mutter even after the zman iser. Why didn't it say it's mutter b'achila? That would have been a bigger chiddush. It says the Ran, because it's not normal to eat such a thing. But if you were to eat it, it's taka mutter. That's what the Ran says. Comes the Rosh and says it's not true. Charcha kodim zmano is mutter l'achas zmano b'hana, but not b'achim. Only mutter b'hana, nifsal me'achilas kelev, it's not edible. Not edible for human consumption, not edible for animal consumption. It's mutter b'hana. But it's not mutter b'achim. Why not? So says the Rosh, ho'el v'ihu ka'ochil le'os. Since he's eating it, it's us. What does that mean? So the Taz and Zimin Tavman Beis of Kot Mechaz has his famous line that the Rosh holds midrabanan the chametz that nifsal me'achilas kelev is still osa b'achila because achshevei, since the person is eating it, he is machshevei. Machshevei considers it important, so we don't say bad lo daito etzel kol adam because ihu ka'achilei, so ihu achshevei la'achila. He treats it like Michael. So he treats it like a Michael, Midir Rabbanan, it's still going to be awesome. Even though it's not edible, it's Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev, Midir Rabbanan, it's still going to be awesome. So that's the problem when it comes to medicines. Because even if the Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev, some poskim would say that, look, the person's putting it in his mouth. It's like an Achila. So if it's like an Achila, then it should be awesome to do that on Pesach. So obviously, if the person is a Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana, it's Mutter. If he needs this medicine, there's no question. We're talking about a Cholosh Ein Bo Sakana who might not really need the medicine. If you could get a Kosher Pesach brand of the medicine, of course you should get the Kosher Pesach brand. You shouldn't eat the non-Kosher Pesach brand. And you should look in these different books that they have with all the different medicines and other things that that are sold, other products. If you can get a Kosher Pesach brand of medicine, it's certainly better. What happens if you can't? You can't, but the person's a Cholosh Ein Bo Sakana and he needs the medicine. Is there any had there for him to take the non-kosher Pesach medicine. But it has chametz in it. Ah, but if nifsal me'achilas kelev? No, but the Rosh says, even if it's nifsal me'achilas kelev, ihu achshevei, it's still aser v'drabon. So is it mutter to eat, to have take this medicine? So the Raposkim will say that there are three reasons that perhaps you really could be me'ikir adin to take the non-kosher Pesach medicine. Say for Yad Avram is Hagos in the side of the Shulchan Aruch. So he has a Hagos in Yeridei and Simkufnun Hei. Yad Avram wants to say that Achshavei is not said regarding refuah. Regarding medicine, you can't say Achshavei. Taz never meant, the Rosh never meant to say Achshavei regarding refuah. He meant someone is eating the thing. Zcharcho kodzmano nifsal me'achilas kelev. And this guy is bucking the trend. No one else would eat it, but he's eating it. So ihu Achshavei. But the Rabbanan still lost her if he's Machshavei l'achilu. Talk to Yad Avram, but if it's a refuah, he's taking it for medicinal purposes. Cholyo mochiach olav. His sickness is proving that he's not machshev this food item. He's taking it for its medicinal, for its therapeutic value. So you can't say that it's that ihu achshevei lachila. He's not achshevei. He doesn't care about it. He's not eating it. He's taking it for its medicinal purpose. That's not called achila. Even the Rosh would say that that's permissible. That's the Yad Avram said. The Chok Yaakov in Hilchas Pesach in Siman Tov Mem Beis, he gives a different reason. He says here achshevei can't apply because you're not eating the item by itself. You're not eating the chametz by itself. You're eating it in a tarobus of other items. In fact, the tarobus of other items have things in it that are more important to you than the chametz. Like in this case, the medicine, the key is the drug that you're taking, the drug that's in the medicine, not the chametz. The chametz is the outer shell to the medicine. Comes the Chok Yaakov, and the Chazon Ish actually applies it to medicine. He says, in the case of medicines, you can't say achshevei. It's a tarobus of heter with issa. You're not just eating the iser that's nisam me'achilas kelev by itself, you're eating the heder with it too. What's more, the heder is the ikar of this tarovis. The medicine is the ikar. So that's what you want. And to say achshavei lechametz, it's very difficult to say achshavei. Chazon Ish says he doesn't think that it should apply here. Not just that achshavei doesn't apply by any medicine, but because since there's a tarovis, and the ikar of this tarovis is the davar hamutar, so then you're not machshiv the chametz. You really machshiv the davar hamutar, you machshiv the medicine, and the chametz is just there to help the medicine go down, so to speak, right? To be able to make that pill. But that's not the ikar of your tarovis, so we can't say achshavei in this case. And the third svar that the achronim give is this is not really achila. You're not eating the medicine, you're swallowing the medicine. So even if by nisal me'achilas kelev, the rush is going to be machmer by achila, that we say achshavei, that's by achila, not by bliya. Right? So, three different reasons for why by medicine achshavei shouldn't apply. Either achshavei doesn't apply to refuah in general, or it doesn't apply here because there's a tarovis, and in fact, the davar hamutar is the ikar of the tarovis, and that's not chametz, that's the drug. And thirdly, a person is not eating, he's swallowing. Achshavei applies to achila, it doesn't apply to bliya. So, again, if you can get a kasha l'pesach medicine, it's better to do so. But if you can't, there might be room to be megel. You should ask a shayla, there might be room to be megel. Now, clearly, this is only going to apply to medicines that you swallow, not to chewable medicines. The third head is going to fall away when it comes to chewable medicines. And if you're talking about liquid syrups that taste good, that's really going to be questionable. You know, you take your cherry blast or strawberry, whatever it is. You know, I'm not sure, I'm not so knowledgeable in these areas. But, you know, you can. There are certain syrups that are good tasting. So if the chametz sticker syrup is good tasting, then it's much harder to be makel, because then you're actually enjoying the chametz. So that's much more difficult. But for pills, non-tasting pills, right? There is room to be makel. That achshavei shouldn't apply. And since the chametz is not edible, perhaps it should be mutter to take it if there is no other medicine that one can take. So a shayla should be asked, but there might be room for cooler. Max?
I was asked, but not the third one. It's not true. It's not
right. Right. If you're not swallowing it, so then the third issue might not apply. Okay. For the few remaining moments that we have, let's talk a little bit about b'dikas chametz, specifically halacha l'maisa, what to do about b'dikas chametz in the dormitories and in different apartments and homes, and a person is not going to be there for Pesach, etc. So we know there's a chiyuv of b'dikas chametz. That's the Mishnah that based on Alachim Sochem. Or larba asar bokenes hachametz l'or haner. The night of the 14th of Nisan, we have to check for chametz. One is not allowed to own chametz during Pesach. One is not allowed to eat chametz, as we describe. So there's a concern. And clearly there's a concern that one is going to be owning the chametz if you don't get rid of the chametz, but you might come to eat it as well. L'or haner, says the Mishnah. So comes the Gemara and says that dafka l'or haner, and not l'or avuka. You can't check for chametz by the light of a torch. Why? Because we're concerned that you're not going to check in the chorim ustakim, in the nooks and crannies. You're not going to go very close because you're afraid that you'll make a fire. So someone has suggested that nowadays perhaps we shouldn't be bodeg chametz with an or haner either, because we don't really use fire as light. We don't use a candle for light. So since we're not so accustomed to using the candle, we're probably just as afraid with the candle as they were with a torch. So if a flashlight wouldn't enable us to get into the nooks and crannies, so then we could have a discussion. But our flashlights, the flashlights that exist as well as now, are very bright, and the poskim say you can get into the nooks and crannies. So it's probably better to do that. It's probably better to be both the chametz or the flashlight. Sometimes people like to start with the nair because that's the ikar takana, that was the minute, that's what the Mishnah says. But it's best to do at least most of the bedikah with a flashlight, just for safety reasons. The safety reasons that no fire should be started, and you'll do a better bedikah with a flashlight because you won't be afraid that you'll start a fire with the candle. The Gemara in Pesachim says that one who is in his home within 30 days before Pesach is chayav for the bedikas chametz. Not just someone who's in the home the night of the 14th, but as long as you're there in the last 30 days. Shloshim Yom Kodem Lachag is a period of time that's close enough to the Yom Tov that the takon of B'dikas Chametz already was set. It's chal on the individual. We know that the Tosefta says that one is allowed to sell Chametz to a guy. Right? One doesn't have to eat up all his chametz beforehand, before Yom Tov. You can sell the chametz to a guy. And there are different minhagim. Right? There are different minhagim that exist. This is a popular minhag that we do sell chametz. Some people are machmir not to sell the chametz because they think the whole thing is a joke. The whole mechir is not really taken seriously. But most of Klal Yisrael, I think, does do a mechiras chametz. There are some that are machmir not to sell chametz gomer. They don't sell real chametz, like Cheerios, Wheaties, whatever, you know, something that's real chametz, not just Tarovis chametz. They'll sell mixtures of chametz, but they're not going to sell chametz gomer. And others are make a leader to sell chametz gomer to the guy. What's the din if a person is not going to be home for Pesach? He's going to leave his apartment Erev Pesach, he's going to leave his home Erev Pesach, and go somewhere else, go to his in-laws, go to his parents, go to a hotel. So does he have to do B'dikas Chametz? What's the shaila? He was there the night of the 14th, what's the question? So let's say he's not only going to be selling all the Chametz in his property, but he's willing to lease the property to the guy. If he leases the property to the guy, so then the question could be raised, that just like there's no problem with leaving Chametz in one's house, there's no need to get rid of all of the chametz. You can sell some of the chametz to the guy, right? So just like you can sell some of the chametz to the guy, and you do bedika on what you're not getting rid of, what you're not selling to the guy. So here too, if it turns out that you're leaving the entire apartment, the entire home, so you're selling the whole apartment to the guy. If you do bechiras chametz, maybe there should be no chiyuv of bedikas chametz on the individual. But I lived in the apartment 30 days before Pesach. No, it could be the chiyuv of bedikas chametz only a schal and someone who lived in his home 3 days before Pesach, and is going to be in that home on Pesach. But he's not going to be in the home on Pesach, so the mechira can take the place of bir chametz. The mechira selling to the guy could take the place of the bir chametz. So this is a big machlokas. The Mishnah Berurah quotes machlokas haposkim. This is the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Siman Tov Lamed Vav. Some poskim say that there's no need to do bedikas chametz in such a case. Even though the person is in his home the night of the 14th, as long as he's leaving before Pesach, let's say before the Zman Isser, right? Before the Zman Isser, Midrabanan in the morning, the Zman Isser Achila, Hano, etc. Right? So then there's no problem. He's selling the chametz to the guard. That's like beer chametz. He doesn't have to destroy the chametz. He can just sell it to the guard. Other poskim say no. The fact that you were in your property the night of the 14th, you have a chiyuv b'dikas chametz. You have that chiyuv. So you don't solve the issue by selling the chametz to the guy on the next day. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and quotes the Chasam Sofer, who has somewhat of a pshor. He has a compromise. Chasam Sofer says, "Me'ikar adin, if you're going to sell the chametz and lease the home on the 14th, you don't need a bedikas chametz." But that's a din in the bais. Chazal v'masakein that there's a chovas gavra as well. That if you're in the home on the night of the 14th, there's a chiyuv on the gavra to do a bedikas chametz. That you're not going to fulfill. That you're not going to fulfill. So says the Chasam Sofer, even if you want to leave your property and you don't want to have the tirf of being both at chametz throughout the property, you should leave one spot in your property that's not going to be sold to the non-Jew, not going to be rented to the non-Jew, and you'll fulfill the chovas gavra of bedikas chametz in that part of the property. That's what the Chasam Sofer says. Don't leave the whole thing over. Leave a little bit over. Then you'll fulfill the chovas gavra. Even if the chovas bias, the obligation to be bodek, the bias, is satisfied through beer chametz, through the mechiras chametz to the guy, which is in place of the beer. But there's a chovas gavra that you're not going to satisfy. So comes the Chasam Sofer and says, leave over a spot in your home. So this is what many poskim suggest, that if a person is going to be leaving his home Erev Pesach, not before the night of the 14th, he's going to be leaving Erev Pesach. So then he has this shaila, because he's in his home the night of the 14th, so what does he do? So some poskim say that you should be machmir for the Chasam Sofer, leave over a spot, a small spot, a small room, a small part of the room that you're going to do the bedikas chametz on. But most of the apartment, most of the home, you can sell, or you can rent to the guy, depending on whether you actually own it. If you own it, then you have to sell it to him. If you're only renting, you can't sell it, it's not your property, so you rent it to him. You rent it to him. If someone is going to his hotel, is going to his in-laws or to his parents before the night of the 14th, so it could be even the Chasam Sofer would say that you don't have a chiyuv b'dikas chametz. Because you're not there the night of the 14th. So even the chumrah of the Chasam Sofer is not going to apply there. Because you're not there. You're not in the location the night of the 14th. So then perhaps you can get away scot-free just by renting the apartment, by selling the home to the guy. There are two mechiras comments that the rabbanim do. They have a mechira yudalin and a mechira yudgimel. They do an earlier mechira for those who are going away, or they'll be in different time zones, whatever. So, put yourself on the mechira yudgimel that will be chal before the zman of b'digas chametz, and then you want a mechira b'chal. Then the tak is no chiyav to go to chametz, at least in the property that you're coming from. You still have to talk about the hotel that you're going to. Yes, we'll talk about that. Some have asked the question, how can they lease the apartment to the non-Jew? It says in the leasing contract that they're not allowed to sublease to someone else. I don't think it's a problem. Rabbi Willard thought that this is a religious sublease. It's not a real sublease. No one's going to be living in the apartment per se. This is permissible. Even under the terms of the leasing contract, it would be permissible to sublease the apartment to the guy to avoid the yisachamitz. That's not included within the contract, and it would be permissible to do that. What happens if a person is leaving his apartment or his home, but someone else is going to be coming in? Let's say there's someone from the community, there's a family in the community that their children are coming for Pesach, and they want a room in the home. What do you do then? Can you sell the whole house? Right? Can you rent the apartment to the guy? It looks like a joke. You're renting the apartment, but someone is coming in. So lechora, if someone is coming in to use the premises, then someone should do B'dikas Chametz there. Because part of the requirement of B'dikas Chametz, the reason for B'dikas Chametz, is because we're afraid that you might find Chametz and you'll eat it. So if you're coming into someone's home, coming into the property, who knows, one of the kids might come to eat some Chametz there. So I guess you could say we can mark the Chametz appropriately. No, but that's the Takana Derabbanan, that if you're living in a property, you should be bothered Chametz, because there's a concern that you'll lose yourself, you might come to eat the Chametz. So if someone is going to actually be living in the property, lechora, there should be some kind of b'dikas chametz that's done. Now, you don't have to do b'dikas chametz in the whole apartment. You can put a siman. You can put some kind of a marker to say to stay out of the kitchen or to stay out of certain areas, and then the person can't go into the kitchen. But at least the makom where they're staying, there should be some kind of b'dikas chametz. If someone is selling the apartment to the guy, a shayla is often asked, let's say a person is going to his in-laws for the storim, and then they're going to their parents for the second days. Can they stop in their apartment on the way? Right? They want to take some clothes for Chol HaMoed. They want to take some clothes for Yom Tov, but they don't want to take all the clothes for Yom Tov. So can they stop in their apartment on the way to the other, for the other hosts, for the other part of the Yom Tov? But Willie thought that it's important to do that. Just walking into the apartment to get your clothing, the guy is not makbid on that. Right? He actually owns the rights to the apartment now, but he's not makbid on that small walking into the apartment, so that should be permissible. The best thing is, if you're selling the apartment or renting it to the guy, then you should leave before the zman is rachilas chametz, because again, if you're leaving afterwards, so then what have you accomplished? If the concern for b'dikas is that you might come to eat the chametz, certainly if it's your apartment, you might walk into the kitchen by accident and eat some chametz after the zman is rachilas. You really should leave before the zman is rachilas chametz. That's really the appropriate time. If there are two different roommates in a dorm room, so then they don't both have to do b'dikas chametz. One should do for all of them. The last one there should be bodek the night before. You're supposed to do b'dikas chametz at night, la'or haner, la'or ha-flashlight. So the last one there should do the b'dikas. They have a bodek there. If you're doing the B'dikas Chametz before the night of Yudalit, you don't make a bracha on the B'dikas Chametz. So then there really is no reason to put out any of those pieces of bread, right? The pieces of bread are to make sure it's not a bracha levatala. So you're not making a bracha, so then there's no need to put out the pieces of bread. But one should be careful to do a real B'dikas. Some suggest you should put out something, because if not, then to do a B'dikas for 5 minutes, for 3 seconds, Okay, so even if you're not going to put out the bread, you should do a serious B'dikas to make sure that that there's no chametz there. If you have a chiyum, if you're not selling the apartment, not selling the dorm room, so then you really should do a proper bedika, even if you're doing it before the night of the 14th. It's important to keep in mind that if you're selling or renting your premises, you should give access to the guy. Sometimes people tell the rav, yeah, I'm selling my whole property, but they don't leave a key, they don't leave a cell phone. The guy has no way that he can access that property. That's mamash a joke. We should give some kind of access. So it used to be that Rabbanim asked for a key. Give a key to your apartment. Leave the key with the Rav. And Taka Rabbanim would often have like a whole set of keys. right? That people left keys with them and they forgot to pick up the keys. Like, you know, they had like the whole set of keys that pick up the key from the Rav after Pesach too, because we assume that the Goy is going to sell the chametz back to the Rav. But you should leave some kind of a key so that the Goy will have access. Nowadays, I think Rabbanan hold that as long as you leave a cell phone number, that should be sufficient. So then the Rav can contact you. As long as he can contact you, the Goy wants to come in, then there's a way that the Goy can come in. So if they can contact you and you'll be able to give him a way to come in, so then you don't actually have to leave the key with the Rav. Okay, what's the din if a person is going to a hotel? So he's selling his property to the guy, but he's going somewhere else. Does he have to do bedikas chametz there? If he's going to his in-laws or to his parents, so of course they're going to do bedikas chametz in that home. But let's say you're going to a different place where no one is really living. You're going to a hotel. Do you have to do bedikas chametz? So technically speaking, you probably don't, because the hotel is muhzak. Right? It's b'cheskas baduk. B'cheskas baduk, because they wouldn't allow you to go into the hotel room if it's not baduk. Right? You have to call the Department of Health if you find any chametz in the hotel room. And there's not supposed to be any food in the hotel room. Right? So it's really b'cheskas baduk. There probably is no chiyuv b'dikas chametz. The other issue is that you're not really renting the hotel room. They really can move you if they want. They might not want to do that, but in extenuating circumstances, they can move you from room to room. So it's not really your room. So the chiyuv b'dikas is really on the socher. You're not really a socher because they can move you around. So it's not so clear that in a typical hotel room, there really is a chiyuv b'dikas. If a person is coming to the location a few days before Yom Tov, right? A few days before Yom Tov, and he's going to be eating chametz in the room. I'm not so sure why he'd be eating the chametz, but okay, if he's coming a few days before, then it could be, if he's eating chametz in the room, then there will be a chiyuv b'dikas. I think in most circumstances, you're not going to be coming to the hotel too many days before, because it costs money to be in the hotel many days before, right? So I think most people are going to be coming a day before Pesach, you know, right on Erev Pesach. I think in those circumstances, there probably is no chiyuv b'dikas there. So the best thing is that if they're going to still be home the night of the 14th, leave over a part of the home. Do a little bit of a bedikah in the home. You can sell the rest of the home or rent the rest of the home to the guy. Then you will not have to do bedikas chametz in the rest of the place. And then when you come to the hotel the next day, there's no chiyuv bedikah. There wouldn't be any chiyuv bedikah in the hotel because it was b'cheskas baduk from before. I mean, you're not supposed to do bedikah. You would have to do a bedikah Erev Pesach if you come by day to a new location, even if you can't do the bedikah at night, right? But you have to do whatever bedikah you can. But I think in this situation, since it's b'cheskas baduk, there won't be a chiyuv bedikah anyway in the hotel that you're coming to. David?
But from the chasam shomer is chovis gavra, wouldn't you have to do it anyway at some point just to fulfill your own obligation?
What do you mean?
To fulfill your own bedikah.
But that's only if you're in the location on the night of the 14th.
He's saying if you're in the hotel the night of the 14th.
No, but you don't have a Chovas Gavra unless you are in a place which is not Becheskas Baduk the night of the 14th. The Chovas Gavra only comes on a person if he's in a location that would have a Chiyuv B'dika. Let's say a person doesn't own a home. B'dika's Chametz is not a Chovas Gavra, according to the Chasam Sofer, like Tefillin. Tefillin, you have a Chiyuv to put on Tefillin. You don't have a Chiyuv to do B'dika's Chametz unless you have a place that is Shayach to B'dika's Chametz. So if I don't have such a makom, if it's b'cheskas baduk and I don't have a place that could have chametz in it, so then there's no chiyuv b'dikas chametz even on the gavra.
Wasn't the chasam's case when you sold the house?
No, you're selling the house Erev Pesach, but you're in the house the night before Erev Pesach, the night of the 14th. So then the night of the 14th, you are a gavra that has a makom that is chayv in b'dikas chametz. So that's what the chasam sofer says. Maybe there's a chovas gavra and you're obligated to be b'dikas. But if you're not going to be in a makom that has a chiyuv b'dikas, either because everything is sold already, or because you're in a place that is b'cheskas baduk, like the hotel, so then you're stopping even according to the chasam sofer, there is no chovas gavra, and you're not going to have a chiyuv b'dikas. Okay, stop here. For those who want to take a look at the matzah kfula, okay, be careful. You know, this is very, the matzahs are fragile, but, okay. Let's first look at the real kfula, and then I'll show you the chovas.